Would you turn to the 56th Psalm? Psalm 56. If you look at the statement with regard to this psalm, it says that he wrote this psalm when he was in the land of the Philistines. And this is very important. He had fled Israel because he was afraid of Saul, and he was in the land of the Philistines at this time. And it's when he writes this psalm: "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you that you've given us a book that you wrote, that you inspired, that's without error, that teaches us who you are and who we are and how you save by your Son. Lord, may your gospel be preached in the power of your Spirit, and may we all be allowed to worship. Speak to each heart here, Lord. Drive the things away that would hinder us in hearing your word. We confess our sins. We're so thankful for the complete forgiveness of sins. May your grace reign in us, and what we're asking for ourselves, we're asking for all your people, wherever they meet together. Lord, we pray for our friends that are not here, that you keep them by your grace. We pray for those in sickness, those who are going through trial. Bless them for Christ's sake. Give us grace to love you more and truly love one another more. May your grace be upon this assembly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title tells us that this is when David had fled to the land of Gath. He was in the land of the Philistines, and that's a place where he shouldn't have been. And I have no doubt that he felt very uncomfortable while he was there. And this is, you'll remember when he acted like a madman and acted like he had spit coming down his beard and acted like he was crazy. And he was got out like that. The king of Gath said, "What do I need a madman for?" And he went and hid in a cave. You can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 22. So David is in a place where he should not be. He was away from his homeland. Now, look what he says at this time. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." Now, we know with regard to every psalm that they're first of all the words of Christ. And these are the words of Christ, as we can see clearly. When he left his home in glory and came down here and dwelt among us, he was away from his Father. He was away from his heaven. Now, as we read this psalm, we can see it as the word of Christ, but we're going to look at it as the word of David. It's also the word of David just as much as it's the word of Christ. And David is speaking of his experience. Now, notice what he says in verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, to where I'm no more. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me." Now, this is interesting. You wouldn't know this just by reading this passage of Scripture, but the word man is a different word in the Hebrew for with the word generally translated man, like God created man in his own image. It's the word Adam, man. But this is the noun form of the Hebrew verb, which means desperately wicked, incurable. It's the same word used in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, where Jeremiah describes the human heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. That's the word, desperately wicked, incurable. Now, this is the daily experience of every believer with the old man. "He would swallow me up." You found that so, haven't you? "He would swallow me up." He, this old man that I deal with on a daily basis, he daily oppresses me. All the time. This is the experience of every believer. And let me say this. The only way this can be your experience is if you have a holy nature. Without this new man in Christ Jesus that God has made you, you wouldn't really recognize this. Now, men have problems with sins, but they don't know anything of what the writer's talking about here, sin. A sinful, desperately wicked, incurable old man that I'm still carrying with me. And he, fighting daily, would swallow me up. And every believer finds this the case with them every single day. Sometimes it's more acute than others, but every single day, man, fighting daily, would swallow me up. Now, this fight is described in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another." They're at odds with one another. And so David says, "Be merciful, be gracious unto me. For man, fighting daily, would swallow me up. He daily oppresses me. Verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Mine enemies, my sins would daily swallow me up. There's not a day when this is not taking place. My sins are my enemies in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, every believer knows what that means. You might not be able to articulate it as the scriptures do, but you know what that means. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. However many sins I have, they fight against me. And let me remind you, it's only the new man who sees his sins in this light. The old man understands the problems sin brings in their life. Ask somebody with a substance abuse problem how much problem that brings in their life. Any kind of addiction. But this is talking about more than this. This is talking about a sinful nature that produces these sins as armies coming at me, seeking to swallow me up. Is there any day, I know there's not, is there any day when you're not tempted to sin? Somebody says, I don't have a problem with that. I'm glad, but all you demonstrate by that is you don't have a holy nature. You don't have a new nature. A believer is daily fighting this. Verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, you can't deal with sinfulness without making you afraid. Your sinfulness, you'll look at your sin, you'll look at yourself. We're always tempted to look within. It'll make you afraid. Maybe I'm not saved. Why am I struggling with sin like this if I was saved? I'm afraid. The fear of God produces a fear of sin. It certainly does. But I love what David says. What time I'm afraid, there's only one place to trust. I trust in thee. Nowhere else. I have nowhere else to look. What time I'm afraid, I trust in thee. Verse 4, in God. In God. Now, this is the only place of safety, in God. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. That's big in God, isn't it? In God, verse 4, I will praise His Word. Now, what I am talking about right now is the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for the Scriptures? Aren't you thankful that the Scriptures tell us who God is, who Christ is, who we are, that you're not dependent upon the words of a fallible, sinful man, but you can see what God's Word teaches? In God, I will praise His Word. In God, I have put my trust. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in men. I'm not trusting in men's thoughts. I'm not trusting in men's opinions. In God, I put my trust, and I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, what he's talking about at this point is his own sinful flesh. It's not going to take me down. It can't. God won't let it. I'm preserved in God. In God do I put my trust. In God do I praise His Word. I will not fear what flesh, your flesh or my flesh, can do unto me. You see, if God is my Savior, my flesh can't bring me to hell. My flesh has been judged. My sins have been put away. Verse 5, every day they rest my words. Now, he's talking about people, I realize that, but in the spiritual meaning of this, every day doesn't your flesh wrest your words and try to convince you to think otherwise than what God says and to believe otherwise than what God says? Every one of us are dealing with this thing called the flesh, wresting our words, our thoughts. All their thoughts, verse 5, all their thoughts are against me for evil. Now, we can see this as the Lord's experience with men, particularly the Pharisees, but this is the world's response to the believer as well. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Now, this was the daily experience of the Lord with his enemies. But this is also the believer's daily experience with the deceitfulness of his own sin and of his own flesh every single day. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. You know, this is why Paul cried out, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says in verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people. And this is what we're asking the Lord to do with the old man. Yes, he's talking about these people who are fighting him daily, that he has to flee from Israel. But this is what the believer says with regard to his old man. Lord, cast it down. When we're talking about this, understand this. This is never, ever an excuse for sin. This is never a justification in our sin. This is never, well, it's okay to sin because I can't help it. That's my old nature. No, our desire is with David, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If this would make me think, well, it's okay, I can live in a way that is contrary to the gospel, I haven't heard. Every believer cries from their heart, order my steps in thy word. Don't let me take one step contrary to your word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's the heart cry of everybody who has this new man. Verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Do you know the hymn, Prone to Wander? Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that's exactly what David is talking about. You see my wanderings. I mean, you look at all the saints of God in the scripture. Think of Jacob. Think of all of his wanderings. And David said, you count, you see, you tell my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Tears. Tears of frustration, tears of sorrow over sin. Didn't the Lord say, blessed are they that, what? Mourn. There's a true mourning over sin. That's the second beatitude. Blessed are they that mourn. Tears of awe at his greatness. Tears of joy of the greatness of his salvation. Do you remember when Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm mindful of your tears. Now, I'm not asking you how often you shed a tear. People express their innermost feelings in different ways. But tears are an expression of a relationship with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his glory. and tears of joy, tears of the awesomeness of being justified before God, the awesomeness of His greatness, the sorrow over sin. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not written in thy book? Every tear shed, whether it's a one that you can feel running down your cheek or the crying of the heart, it's all written down in His book. Every thought. Verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. And here's why. This I know, for God is for me. I know how my enemies will turn back. Now that can mean, listen, anybody that's my enemy is the Lord's enemy. That's true of every believer. Anybody who's my enemy is the Lord's enemy, because I belong to Him. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I'm talking right now, that yes, it's talking about anybody who hates the believer, but this is also talking about the enemy of my sins. They'll be turned back. They'll be put away. They'll be no more. How do I know that? This I know because God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Think of the whole passage of Scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what God has predestinated for you, and it must take place, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? My sins, they're going to be turned back. They're going to be made not to be. Verse 10, he repeats himself. You know, there's a repetitions of good in the gospel. Probably one of the things that, as a preacher, one of the things that I struggle with the most is just people getting tired of hearing me talk. Who wouldn't do? You preach so much, you say the same things. But you know what? The repetition of the gospel is always right. To write the same things for me to you is safe. Is safe. The only safe thing is the same thing. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The continual repetition of the gospel. So he repeats himself, in God will I praise His word. I praise God for His written word. I'm so thankful for this. This is what gives me confidence in preaching. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. All I do is preach the word and trust God, the Holy Spirit, to bless it as He sees fit. It's not up to me to convince anybody of anything. No, this is in God. I praise His word. I praise the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise His message, His word. In God, I will praise His word. And he repeats himself again, in the Lord. I think he's talking about being in God. Now he's talking about being in Christ, in Jehovah. In the Lord will I praise His word. Same thing again. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I love what Paul said in Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. And I know the only way, Mir, you can worship is through the Holy Spirit. Flesh can't worship God. It's only the new man that worships God. It's only the new man that has communion with God. It's only the new man who loves God. In God have I put my trust. We're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. We only have confidence in Christ. Amen? And we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. None. Nada. Zero. My flesh or your flesh. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Now, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I want you to think about this. The scripture says in Proverbs, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man. And what is the fear of man is seeing men too big and being too concerned about what they think and craving their approval and their, that's the fear of man. Man's too big when there's a fear of man. And that comes from a diminishing of the fear of God. If my heart is filled with the fear of God, what's man? What's flesh whose breath is in his nostrils? God can take it away like that. To be so concerned about what some son of Adam thinks of you? Who cares? Now, along with this fear of man that makes you see men too big, you know what else it does? It makes you see other men too little. Well, I'm not afraid of them. They can't hurt me. And you are dismissive of other men. You fear some men in arrogance, in fear, and you're dismissive of other men. Well, they can't hurt me. You know, and that one goes with the other. Where you have too much fear of men, you'll also be dismissive of other men and not love them. You just dismiss them. You see what a problem the fear of man is? It makes you see men as too little, and I'm too big, and also too little. Both ways are evil, and it all comes from a lack of the fear of God. But what does he say? He says, in God have I put my trust. I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. You know, the Lord said, fear not them that kill the body, and after that, that's all they can do. Fear him who after he's killed the body hath power to cast your soul into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Verse 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. I know exactly what he's saying. He said it over in his dying words, although my house be not so with God, yet hath the Lord made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. That's his vows. His vows, his promise, his covenant is upon me. You know, I love it that way. He doesn't say, we've made an agreement. I've agreed to receive this or accept this. He's agreed to do nothing like that at all. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. One that had no beginning, one that'll never end. Ordered in all things. And it's sure, this is the one sure thing, his covenant. And this is all my salvation and all my desire, though he maketh it not to grow. Thy vows are upon me. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. There'll be no death. Eternal death for me. And that's true of every believer. He's already delivered. But I love what he says next. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Now, I've been delivered from eternal death. I also want to be delivered from my feet from falling, that I might walk with God in the light of the living. The only light there is the light of the living. Isn't that a wonderful psalm? They all are, but what a blessing. Okay, thank you.